John chapter 1. I've been assigned the life of Peter, first and last. And during this month, we will talk about him. I want to read you from John 1 and Luke 5. And the message today is the introduction of Simon of Bethsaida, the fisherman, to his Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, on the morrow, John the Baptist was standing, and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld him following him, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Teacher, where abidest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come, and you shall see." They came therefore and saw where he abode, and they abode with him that day. And it was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, Christ. He brought him unto Jesus. Jesus looked upon him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, Peter. On the morrow he was minded to go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and Jesus saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and saith unto him, "Before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see the heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Look in chapter 2 at verse 23. Now when he, our Lord, was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed on his name, beholding his signs which he did. But Jesus did not entrust himself unto them, for that he knew all men, and because he needed not that anyone should bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. and one other portion in Luke 5. Turn back to Luke 5. Starting at verse 1. Now it came to pass, while the multitude pressed upon him and heard the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes out of the boat. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, put out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night, and took nothing. But at thy word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking. And they beckoned unto their partners in the other boat, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was amazed at all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the things that you tell us concerning your creatures which you brought into existence on earth. Our God, we marvel when we've read of your Son knowing all about those that he had never met before the day, humanly speaking, they met him. We thank you that we shall take this to heart, that we shall understand that when we are in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, we are in the presence of the Messiah, the Son of God. We pray that as Simon was introduced to the Lord Jesus, that we shall be introduced to him as well this day. Only by thy Spirit can this be accomplished. Undertake for us, we ask of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. From the time I was a child, I went to church, and I can remember on Palm Sunday, as a little boy in Raleigh, North Carolina, being given a palm branch and marching up the center aisle of Edenton Street Methodist Church, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I went to church my whole life long, and I spoke the name of Jesus, and I heard the name of Jesus, but I had never been introduced to Jesus of Nazareth. And it's probably true concerning all of you here this morning that you know the name of Jesus means nothing except responsibility, that you have heard sermons about Jesus means nothing. But what is important is if you have been personally introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. Has that ever happened to you? Let me tell you something that happened to me that was rare, because most of the time I speak to people and teach them the Word of God. But when I lived in Boylan Heights, there was a friend of mine named Felton Tilly. He was 4 years older than I was. And we knew one another. We were friends. We enjoyed one another. And then I went into the service, and I never saw the man for 55 more years. 55 years. But I was looking in a directory of the old church that I used to attend, and his picture was in that book, and I saw a minister of that church, and I said, "Is Felton Tilly still alive?" He said, "Yes, he is in this rest home in Raleigh." And I went to see him once, and I went to see him last week. And when I was talking to him, I asked, "Felton, do you know when you die that you're going to heaven?" And he said, "No, Milton, I don't." I said, "You've gone to church your whole life long and you're 85 years old and you don't know that you're going to heaven?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And he said, "No." I said, "How is it that you've never trusted him as Savior?" And this old man told me this. He said, "I've always been afraid." I said, "I would be afraid if I would not trust him as Savior." He said, "I've been afraid to trust him as Savior." And I said to this 85-year-old man, I said, "Will you trust him now as your Savior?" And he said, "Yes, I will." And I said, "Then tell the Lord that in prayer." And he started praying, and he stumbled, and I would give him a few words. And when he got through, I said, "Now, Felton, are you saved?" And he said, "Yes, I am, and I know I'm going to heaven." Now, isn't 85 years a rather long time to wait to be introduced to the Lord Jesus? He was a better individual than most of us here. He was a better man than I was. I never heard him curse. I never heard him tell evil stories. He was a fine moral man, and he went to church his whole life long, but he had never been introduced to Jesus. And because of that, you think that your association with him would be sure that you're going to heaven. And it was very moving this morning to see these children and have hands laid on them. But you neglected one thing. It said Jesus held them in his arms and laid his hands on them. That's the way that old Mills does it. I hold them in my arms and bless them. But do you realize this? That when Jesus had children brought to him and laid his hands upon them, it did not guarantee they were going to heaven. You say, "How can that be?" Nothing that any man prays for you, does for you, guarantees that you will go to heaven. The Bible says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Your prayers can cause the Spirit of God to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. But when the Spirit convicts the prayers of Jesus to be answered, and of all who have laid hands on children, the prayer to be answered must be, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I will take you as my Savior." And so all of you know Jesus. You go to church, but you haven't been introduced to the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I began to be introduced to the Savior when I was 12 years old. And it's historic for this reason. I worked at a grocery store in Raleigh delivering groceries, and the meat man there was old Reginald L. Edwards. And he took me when I was 12 years old to a meeting he had, and there was a chart from eternity to eternity. And he kept pointing out on that chart the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He was trying to introduce me to Jesus when I was 12 years old. But I did not embrace the Lord Jesus he was telling me about. But 7 years later in California, when some Navy boys told me about the Lord Jesus, and Leroy Kuhlman told me about the Lord Jesus, I said, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I'm so happy to be introduced to you, and I want you as my Savior." And when I came back, I bumped into Brother Edwards, and I told him that I was saved, and the reason I'm here today is because he tried to introduce me to Jesus when I was 12 years old. I was not at that time ready to receive him as Savior, but 7 years later I was, and his attempt to introduce me to Jesus brought me here today. So think of that. Here are men, John, Andrew, Simon, and they've been religious all their life long, but they've never been introduced to Jesus. That's the mistake you make. You think that perhaps if I keep some of the Ten Commandments, perhaps if I go to church, perhaps if I say a prayer now and then, that will get me to heaven. You must be introduced to the Lord Jesus, and you must embrace this man that is introduced to you. This is what Andrew said to his brother. "We have found Jesus, the son of Joseph, the Messiah." And he brought Simon, his brother, to Jesus. And when Jesus looked upon him, he said, "You are Simon. You shall be called Cephas," which by interpretation is Peter. And so this man, whose life we are studying this month, is given four different names in the New Testament. He is called Simeon by our Lord's brother. He is called Simon by our Savior and others. He is called Cephas, and he is called Peter. But nowadays, most of us just call him Peter. But if you look through all the Gospels at every designation about this man, you'll find that most of the time in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they call him Peter. But in the Gospel of John, he is called Simon Peter 16 times, and Peter 15 times. And the Apostle Paul calls him Cephas and Peter. And the brother of Jesus never calls him anything but Simeon. And what does he call himself? Peter in his first epistle says, "Peter, an apostle." And in his second epistle, he says, "Simon Peter." So this is remarkable, that this man that we know as Peter did not start out as Peter, but he started out as Simeon. Simeon was the second child of Rachel. And when he was born, she called him Simeon, which means see a son. So perhaps when Peter was born, his mother said, "See a son," and she called him Simeon, which is Simon. And that was the name he was known by his whole life long until he came to Jesus. But this is the important thing for you to know, that whenever a person speaks to you seriously about the Lord, he knows all about you, though you've never known anything about him. Here is Andrew, and he's bringing his brother to the Savior. And the Lord Jesus says, "You are Simon. You shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation Peter. How did he know his name? Nathanael comes to him. He is being introduced to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." I read you in John chapter 2 that when Jesus was preaching, it said many believed on him. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them. Why? Because he knew what was in man. He knows what's in you. He knows your hypocrisy, your pretension, the things that you want to do that you never do, the things that you pretend to do, but there was no reality to them. Understand that Jesus knows you through and through. This is what David said. He said in Psalm 139, "Lord, you know my down-sitting. You know my uprising. You know my thought afar off." Peter knew that, and David knew that, and you should know that, because the Savior makes it evident when he is introduced to a man that though you know little about him, he knows all about you from the time you were born until this day. He knows everything about you. And that is the way that he approaches you. At times, he approaches you vehemently, and he preaches sin to bring you to himself. At times, he speaks tenderly. At times, he puts the future before you, the prospect that he has for you. You are Simeon. That's just a name that somebody was happy to give a son. But you are going to become a rock. And so this is what Jesus does. He wants you to understand that he knows about you. He knows about your potential. And he wants you to become everything that he knows you can become. And the sad thing is this, that some of you have potential and it will never be realized. And some of you could go to heaven, but you will never go to heaven. Why? Because there was this man named Felix, and when he was approached and told about the Lord Jesus Christ, it said he was filled with fear, and he said, "Come again at a more convenient season, and I will hear about Jesus." And that season never came. And so all of you go to church and you hear about Jesus day after day, but you never trust him as your Savior. And Jesus knows that. He knows what you could be, and he knows what you are. And what is so sad is he knows what you're going to remain to be. Some of you are in the military. What if you go through the military and you stay 20, 30 or more years, and you get through, and you have your pension, and you have your papers that you served faithfully in the military for 30 years, and you die and go to hell? What is the accomplishment? And some of you, if you work in a grocery store 30 years and they give you a watch, or if you work in a department store or at a grocery store all these years and you go through life and never trust Christ as Savior, what have you accomplished? Nothing. You have the opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus, but if you do not embrace him when he comes to you and tells you your potential, this is what the Savior said to that rich young ruler. He looked upon him and he loved him because there was such potential there. He said, "Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." And that young man went away sorrowful because he loved things, material things, more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died and went to hell, as far as the scripture knows. And so that's true concerning you. All of you here, if I ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior? I wonder if you'd be as truthful as that 85-year-old man. I said, have you ever met the Lord Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior? Are you going to heaven? And he said, no, I do not know it. Are you that honest with the Savior and the conviction that has come upon you? If you've ever had an ear that listened to the Word of God, have you had the Savior to tell you your potential, what you should do? Flee from the wrath to come. That's what the Savior says. That's what he wants you to do. But then you say, come again at a more convenient season. Or you say, my career in the military. I remember this about a dear Jewish man. When I was 19 years old in Canada, he was studying to be a dentist. And when I went to have my teeth taken care of, I witnessed to this Jew. I said, you need to trust Christ as Savior. And this is what he told me. He said, I don't have time now. He said, I must get my education. I must become a dentist. And then we'll see what happens. I've never heard any more about that man. And so now perhaps he's become a successful dentist and has been practicing dentistry for 50 years. But he's never trusted Christ as Savior. And his life is a failure. And your life is too. No matter how much you earn, no matter how high you attain, if Jesus has been brought to you and he wants to meet you and you will not embrace him as Savior, you've never been introduced to Jesus. But with all of Peter's faults, at least he was one who did trust Jesus as Savior. Why? Because after a while, understand this, that not everyone is like Nathanael. As soon as he was introduced to Jesus, a revelation is given to him. He says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He knew immediately. Some people take months and years before they find out who Jesus is. Because to be saved simply means you touch the hem of his garment. It simply means you say yes to this man as much as you know about him. Like that blind man that Jesus opened eyes. He said this. Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And the Lord Jesus said, you've both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Peter, in the will of God, in Matthew 16, we'll read about that someday. The Lord Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And so Peter had been with him months and months, and he never had known that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the Father revealed it to him, and he said, yes, that's who you are. And he told Jesus, and he said, I say unto you, you are Peter. Now notice, he told him he was going to be called Peter, but it took months and months before the Savior said, you have now become Peter. What I said you were going to become, the potential I said you had, it has now been realized. You are Peter, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. And he spoke other things as well. And so this morning, you've heard of Jesus. The Lord Jesus has been brought to you, and he wants to be introduced to you. Will you, whoever you are, whatever your goal in life is, will you embrace the Lord Jesus? And then, not be a fisherman, but a fisher of man. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that Jesus receiveth sinful man. Our God, we confess that it's a mystery to us how we can go through life realizing that there is emptiness in life, that life is going to end, and that the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that He is the only one who can help us when we die, because He's the resurrection and the life. And yet, our Father, we never will embrace this man who is trying to be introduced to us. We pray, our God, that some this morning that have known about Jesus, that they will say, Lord Jesus, I want You to be my Savior. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. By Your Spirit, this could be possible. And so for these little ones who have been prayed for this morning, Father, that later in life, when they are able to think and realize who Jesus is, that they shall love the Lord Jesus and say, thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying for me and for all who are here, that they may be brought under conviction and know that Jesus is the Son of God and He came into the world to save sinners. And may each one say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Save me. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.